just to go in, open up a trading account, open up an investment account, and start buying shares of stock. So today, consider yourself a little lucky. Welcome to Debt Free and IT. I'm your host, Mike. This podcast is for anyone who's looking to get into the IT industry, whether it's for a career change or you're just interested. I think you come to the right place. So in the world we live in today, working your usual 9-to-5 is not enough to achieve your financial goals, or is it enough to secure your financial future? At this point in life, in order to meet your goals, you'll need to learn about investing. Investing, if I had to describe it in one sentence, is making your money work for you. And truth be told, the earlier you get started with investing, the better off you are. For many wealthy individuals, investing is usually one of the things that got them to where they are today. So the goal of this episode is to get us on the right track. If you notice, I said the word us. So I'm still learning too, and I'm trying to get better and more consistent with investing. So a lot of things I already knew and I've been knowing for years, so I did my research years ago. What I'm trying to do is just introduce it to my audience. Maybe this will help you out. Maybe it's something you already know, or maybe you can pull some value from it if it's something you're not already doing. And today we're going to look at the building blocks into investing. So these building blocks is some of the things such as setting your financial goals, knowing what type of risk tolerance level you have, and then some investment options and accounts that you can check out. As always, I'm not a financial advisor, and this is not financial advice. I'm just showing you some of the things that I'm doing and some of the things I'm interested in. And if that's an interest of yours, feel free to follow along. So one of the first building blocks to investing, or whenever you get started investing, is setting your financial goals. So when you first start to invest, one of the things you want to define is these investing goals. Everyone is going to have different goals, but there's one goal that most of us probably have in common, and that goal is going to be investing for retirement. So another goal could be to build up your emergency fund, or maybe saving for a large purchase like a house. You're not limited to one goal. So you, with investing, you can mix and match your goals to how you choose. So you could have a long-term investment, which is going to be retirement, and you could have a mid-term investment, something like 5 to 10 years that maybe you're using to save up for a house. So you're able to kind of mix and match and match up your investments with your lifestyle. For me, some of the things I always try to invest in is retirement, because I do see myself getting older and being able to retire at some point. Right now I'm 42, so I got roughly about 25 more years before that retirement age. So I try to always invest in my retirement, whether if that's at my job, I'm investing in it. And then also I try to invest on my own too. And then another thing I usually try to invest in, or I try to keep on hand, is an emergency fund. So if you looked at any of my other videos, I try to build up that $1,000 emergency fund. And then any excess, I try to put that into something like an index or an ETF, in which we'll get into the ETFs a little bit later. So the next thing you want to do when you're setting out to get started investing is determine your risk tolerance. So after setting your goals, then you want to determine what kind of risk tolerance you're going to have. So with investing, it ain't all peaches and cream, especially in the stock market. So I can't really speak for real estate because I don't really own any real estate property, even though it is something I have been researching and I have been learning about. But as I was saying, with the stock market, it has its ups and downs where you can lose money as well as make money. This is going to go into determining your risk tolerance. This is all going to depend on your comfort level, how soon you're going to need the money from these investments. Like I said, usually the longer you can keep it in, the better you are. And then also, like I said, that stock market, if you're thinking short term, short term shakes a lot of people out, because you want to look at the long term trajectory, like 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years. If you're investing in the right thing, most of the time it's trending up. But if you're looking at it every day, a lot of times you might be forced to sell, or you might panic and sell, because it ain't nothing to open up your trading account and be negative a couple hundred dollars one day, and then the next day you might be positive a couple hundred dollars. And that goes often up and down every day. So you don't want to pay attention to the short days, the short term. You want to always have long term in mind. So when you're investing, you want to be investing it for at least 5 years or more. So this is something where in that 5 years, A lot of times it's hard to lose in a five-year investment unless you're investing in a single stock that may just turn over or go out of business. So this is something you always want to be looking at. And then if you're investing for retirement, let's say you're investing with your job, and then also you got another account where you're investing for your retirement, a good rule of thumb is that you can take more risk while you're younger. So if you're in your 20s and you're just getting started, you can be a little bit more aggressive. And then as you start to get older, up towards the 50s, somewhere around there, you start getting a little older, then you want to become less aggressive. That way, the less aggressive you are, the less risky your investments are. So where you shouldn't lose that much money because you're getting close to retirement. But as you're younger, you can take all kind of risks. So yeah, because you got a longer time to be in the market. Sorry to interrupt this video. According to my YouTube analytics, 84% of my viewers are not subscribed. If I provided any value to you in any of my episodes and you're not subscribed, please consider doing so, as this does help out the channel. And if you're listening in your favorite podcasting app, please leave me a review or a comment and share this with a friend. And back to your episode. So the third thing you want to start considering when investing is looking at your investment options. So for your investment options, this is where you're going to have individual stocks, which is going to require more risk. And then you're going to have index funds, mutual funds, and what's called ETFs, exchange traded funds. So with individual stocks, so these are your stocks like your Googles, your Amazons, your Facebook. So any public company or brand that you have in your household. So if you wear a lot of Nikes, there's a Nike stock out there. So most likely anything in your household is going to have a stock that you can buy or where you're investing into that company. And then also when you buy a share of a company, pretty much what you're doing is buying a piece of ownership. So when you buy one share, you're pretty much considered a part owner of that company. So one way to look at it after you buy a share of a company is that pretty much that company is now working to make you money. So after you buy a share of a stock, there's nothing else you need to do. Just hold it. And then if you do anything, is buy more. So the more you buy, the more profit you look to make. And also it's the more you could lose, because with individual stocks, they are a little bit more risky. And also it's not really wise to put all your eggs in one basket, meaning all your funds into one individual stock. And then the next investment option we have is index and mutual funds. So both of these are considered safe, but one difference is that mutual funds is actively managed and index funds is passively managed. So with index funds, you tend to have lower fees. Both of these funds is going to pool money from multiple investors to invest in a diversified portfolio of stocks and bonds. So there's plenty of stocks to choose from or plenty of funds to choose from. But in short, what buying a fund or investing in this fund is going to do is, instead of you trying to go out and pick an individual stock that you think is going to go up in money. So let's say you're going out, you saying, okay, I think Facebook is the future. I think Facebook is going to continue to go up. So with these funds, instead of you saying, I want to put all my money in Facebook, you can put all your money in a fund such as the S&P 500, which then you're buying that one fund, but that one fund consists of the top 500 companies in the U.S. So within that S&P 500, you're going to have Facebook, you're going to have Apple, you're going to have Google. So you're going to have a piece of each one of those companies inside of the S&P 500. Therefore, it makes your account more diversified too, because instead of you having a single stock where if Facebook has a bad day in the market, you done lost a lot of money. Where with an index fund or a mutual fund, if one of those stocks have a bad day, then you got 499 other stocks that may not be having a bad day. That way, your fund or your investment don't lose a lot of money just because one company is having a bad day. You got the other companies there to hold you up. And then also, if you're interested in just learning more about different index funds, and like you often hear people talk about the S&P 500 or the total stock market, there's a good book I read by John L. Collins, which is called The Simple Path to Wealth. And in that book, John Collins, he talk about investing in index funds, and it shows different ways that you can retire pretty wealthy just from investing in these index funds. So if that's something you're interested in going down that rabbit hole, because like I said, it is a rabbit hole now, because once you start learning, you're going to be eager to get more information. So like I said, John L. Collins is a good book called The Simple Path to Wealth. I'll link it in the description also, and it shows you how to use these index funds to achieve financial freedom. So the next investment option we have is ETFs. So with ETFs, they're real similar to how index funds are, except for with an ETF, you're able to buy and sell it as you please. So with an index fund, usually you say, okay, I got $500 I want to put inside this index fund. You go to your broker, you tell them, hey, $500 to this index fund. Instead of your transaction happening right then while the market is open, that index fund, your money won't purchase it until the end of the day. So at the end of the day, wherever that fund closes at, then it'll go ahead and purchase it using that $500 you put up. But with these ETFs, there's a S&P 500 ETF. You have plenty of them. One of the most popular ones is probably Vanguard. They have one VOO. So with this, it's still the same as that index fund where it has the same holdings in it. So it's the S&P 500 ETF, and then you got the S&P 500 index fund. So where they each have the same holdings, but the only major difference is with this ETF, you can buy and sell it during market hours. Index fund, you have to wait till the market closes and your transaction takes place. ETFs, you go in now, say, I want to buy 2 shares of the S&P 500 ETF. Time you hit send, it purchases those 2 shares, and those 2 shares are in your account. And also, it's easier to get rid of. So when you're ready to sell, let's say you need that money. When you're ready to sell, you can just go in and sell those 2 shares and you get the money in your account. With the index fund, you'll get ready to sell. You have to wait on the close of that day. So that's one of the major differences is the ETFs. You can get in and out real quickly, just like you do with a regular share of any stock. So the next thing you need to consider when you start to invest is your investment account. So when it comes to getting started, you need to choose which brokerage firm you're going to open an account with. And then today I have a couple options for you. So you have what I call your traditional accounts. So these are going to be your Fidelity accounts, your Charles Schwab, which also just bought TD Ameritrade, which TD Ameritrade was one. But like I said, Charles Schwab just bought them. So these are the companies that's been around for a long time. So these companies are trusted by plenty of investors. And with most of them now, it's free to open up an account and start investing with a small amount of money. Now, a couple of years ago with these same companies, like when things was investing, it's kind of easy now to get started with. So a couple of years ago, it wasn't so easy. So a couple of years ago with these same companies, in order to open up an account, some of them you needed at least $5,000. Some of them you needed like at least 10 or 15 grand just to go in, open up a trading account, open up an investment account and start buying shares of stock. So today, consider yourself a little lucky. So those are the traditional accounts that you can open. And then we have companies like Robinhood and Webull. So these companies, they changed the game for younger people to get started investing. So they're the reason a lot of traditional companies now let you invest in fractional shares, which is when you can buy a piece of a share. So let's say if Apple's $100, but you only got $20. Fractional shares let you put your $20 into a piece of a share of Apple. So companies like Robinhood make investing a little bit easier to understand for most younger folks. So for most new investors, they often start off with Robinhood or Webull, and then they may move on to a traditional account as they get more comfortable. So Robinhood was one of the first accounts I started with. So I had a TD Ameritrade account, and then Robinhood came about and I opened up a Robinhood account. So for Robinhood, one thing I liked about it was the interface. And like I said, it made investing a little bit easier than some of the traditional accounts. So with Robinhood, I started buying different shares and things like that. I was still buying in TD Ameritrade too. So don't get me wrong there. I was still buying in TD Ameritrade, but I started using Robinhood more than TD Ameritrade just because I liked the user interface. And then Robinhood was back then, it was basically out to help the middleman, the smaller investor. So which hence the name Robinhood, rob from the rich, give to the poor. So that type of thing, which made Robinhood real popular for the younger generation. And then also one thing that Robinhood did was it's the app that introduced a lot of younger investors into the options. So if you know about anything about options, so one thing, they're real risky. It's something that I would say you don't want to do with any kind of money that you're going to need. So with options, it's something that if you have a hobby or something, I look at it like a hobby going in. Might trade options every now and then, but I don't do it a whole lot. Most of the time, you want to just invest in long term because that's going to be the safest bet. With options, like I said, you can make money real fast. Also, you can lose all your money real fast. But Robinhood is the app that introduced the younger generation, and including myself, into the world of trading options, because they made it available to you where most traditional companies, you had to jump through a lot of hoops in order to have option trading on your account. So like I said, Robinhood and Webull, they're very good accounts to get started with and just get comfortable with investing and buying shares. They even let you buy these fractional shares. So if you would like to get started and receive a free share valued anywhere from $5 to $200 from Robinhood or some fractional shares from Webull, I will include my referral link below. Like I said, it does help out the channel if you choose to use my link, but you don't have to use my link. You can just go directly to the website and sign up. But using my link will get you a free share of a free share on Robinhood or either some fractional shares in Webull. But I recommend getting inside of the app and just getting familiar with it. And then once you get comfortable, you may want to move out to a more traditional app, or you may want to just keep Robinhood, because Robinhood, they do have the options now where you can open up IRA accounts and other type of investment accounts. So I think they're here for the long run. So if, as long as you got your money in them, I think they're also insured. So even if the company happens to tank, you should be able to still get your money back. So that brings me to the end of this episode. Hopefully you found some value in this episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you're on Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook, you can follow me at DebtFreeInIT. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at DebtFreeInIT@gmail.com. Or you can go to the website at DebtFreeInIT with Mike.com. Other than that, I'll see you next week. Peace.